Bible says, sanctify the Lord thy God in your heart. Set him apart as king, as ruler, as guide, as comforter, as helper, as friend, as savior. Set him apart in your heart. Amen? Jesus, Lord of my heart. Take your Bibles, please. We're going to come back to 1 Samuel chapter 12, but if you would look at 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8, I'd like to read verses 1 through 7 there. Isn't it great to be able to just come to church and sing and listen to the Word of God and be with God's people? People, you know, look around here. Other people here love you and care for you. And to what extent we're able to do that for one another really hinges on how open people are with each other, you know. And people sometimes want to help but don't know how or what. And so, like I encouraged you last week to reach out and be friendly. Pray that God would open the doors for you to be of encouragement and help to somebody. Amen. There are so many things that people hurt over. So many issues that we deal with throughout the week that we wish we could just push reset buttons and make everything right. But we can't do that. But we can help people through things or around things or over things or whatever. And somebody's trying to get rid of me or displace me, right? They win every time. All right, 1 Samuel chapter number 8, if you would please, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And then if you would go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 12, please. 1 Samuel chapter number 12. And Samuel said unto Israel, unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. By the way, those two don't have to necessarily correlate. Amen? You can be young and blonde-headed still. As I read that, I thought, if the Lord had me write that, I'd said I'm young and blonde-headed. Okay, let me move on. I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Or whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I'll restore it to you. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. And then I'd like you to notice verse number 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. What an amazing life story is the biblical record of Samuel the prophet. His birth was an answer to prayer made with a promised commitment. Samuel's mother, Hannah, had been unable to have a child. She was so burdened, you remember the story? She was so burdened about being able to have a child, she fasted and prayed at the house of God for the Lord to give her a child, a man child, a specific prayer. Hannah promised the Lord that she would give her son back to him all of his days if he would give her a man child. That's quite a promise. You give me a man child, I'll give him back to you all his days. Well, as his birth was an answer to prayer, Samuel's life became an answer to Hannah's promise. He indeed was given back to the Lord all of his days. We read there where he said, I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. She was faithful to keep her promise to the Lord, and Samuel became a faithful prophet for the Lord. We've preached or been preaching about being found faithful. Samuel indeed was found faithful, but his faithfulness is quite interesting. Samuel's life found him to be faithful when those around him were not. So this morning I want to talk about faithful when they're not. Let's just pause for prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd bless our hearts this morning. I pray that you'd strengthen us from your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts. Give us that holy determination to be what you want us to be regardless. Bless this time, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Faithful when they're not. There's a lot of people that are faithful when they are, but not many that are faithful when they're not. Samuel lived in the days of the judges in Israel. Most of you know the history, you know the history of Israel to a degree. God called Abraham out of the Chaldees, and then had Isaac, and then there was Jacob, and then there's the 12 sons of Jacob, and one of those 12 sons, Joseph, got sold into slavery, went down into Egypt, and then God, they were there 490 years, and then God brought them out of Egypt through Moses, and through Moses led them through the wilderness for 40 days, because they failed God, but anyway, led them through the wilderness for 40 years, and then Joshua led them into the land of Canaan. Then there were several hundred years of judges ruling, where God raised up men to judge, and then when that man died, Israel would fall into its degrading spiritual apostasy, and God would raise up someone else to lead Israel out of its distress and back to God. And Samuel lived in the days of the judges. Before there were, he appoints the first king, before there was kings in Israel. Samuel is known as a type of Christ in that he was a prophet. He served as a priest. And he always, also being judge, was as a king. The Lord Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. So Samuel is a type of Christ in that way. God had governed Israel through the judges that he raised up during that approximate 400 years that the judges ruled. And Samuel is actually, or was actually, the last judge to guide the nation of Israel. The last judge. There's no doubt if you read the chronology of events in Samuel's life and what we read here in the scripture, there's no doubt that Samuel was found faithful with the stewardship that God gave him. A stewardship is something that another, that one entrusts to another to take care of, to fulfill responsibility concerning. Parents have a stewardship with their children. Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's God's stewardship He's given to you. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty, so are children. They're to be sharpened and refined and then launched into the world to do the will of God, all right? And so parents have a stewardship to which they're supposed to be faithful. We have many stewardships. We have mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Be found faithful. There's no doubt, as I said, Samuel was found faithful with his stewardship that the Lord gave him. He went to the temple as a young boy in accordance with his mom's promise being given back to the Lord. He went to the temple as a young boy and served the Lord faithfully all his days. And while he was being taught and trained, he was under the tutorship of Eli. What an interesting observation to me about Samuel is that his faithfulness stands out all through his life among others who were not faithful at the same time. It's outstanding. There's many things that we could talk about Samuel's life, but we'll not really get into all the details of his life. But as we thought, thinking about faithful and different aspects of it, I look at him and say, here's a man that was faithful when they were not. Faithful when they were not. Samuel was a man that, interestingly enough, led the children of Israel from time to time, and then was used to anoint the very, very first king, whose name was what? You tell me, Saul. In our passage this morning, we read that the Israelites desired to have, after Samuel had served the Lord, after judges had served the Lord and been raised up by God, now the Israelites desired to have a king like the other nations. You know, that's a phrase that we have to guard against when we want to be like the others that are not of God. We probably are headed down the wrong pathway. We have a generation of Christians who've been taught to be like the world. There's no distinction. There should be, amen? We don't have to be oddballs, right? But we ought to be different in our demeanor, our deportment, our character, how we are. We ought to be different, and often how we look. In the passage this morning, we read the Israelites desired to have a king. Not just a king, like other godless heathen nations. They didn't have a king when God delivered them out of Egypt. God delivered them. They didn't have a king when Moses led them through the wilderness. God directed them. They did not have a king when they conquered the land of Canaan. God used Joshua. They did not have a king all the years that the judges ruled. Samson, you name them, all the different judges. They didn't have a king all the years that the judges ruled. God raised up men and he used them. But now they wanted a king like the other nations. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 5, if you would, please. They said unto him, it's 1 Samuel 8, verse 5. Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge us like all nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken to the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they've not rejected thee, but they've rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken to their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. Isn't that interesting? Samuel's upset because they want a king, and he goes to God about it, and God says, you think you're upset? I am too. They've been this way since I brought them out of Egypt. Stiff-necked, rebellious. Give them their king. But you tell them solemnly what's going to happen when they have a king. You let them know. You know, be careful what you are adamant about wanting. Amen. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. We delight first in what God wants, and we'll want what he wants, and he loves giving us what he wants us to have. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of heart. Isn't an open credit card to get whatever you want as a Christian. Just do your own thing. God wanted them to know him, to know his leadership, to trust him, to follow him. But they wanted a king. Samuel was faithful when the people weren't. The people around Samuel, it's interesting, let's talk about the people around him who weren't faithful. Let's talk about the people that weren't faithful. First of all, his mentor had not been faithful. His mentor had not been faithful. If you would notice, if you don't mind turning there, go back to chapter 3 for just a moment, please. 1 Samuel chapter 3. His own mentor was not faithful. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, now this is when God first called Samuel.
Samuel.
Eli, did you call me? No, go to bed.
Samuel.
Eli, did you call me? No, go to bed. He calls again, it's the Lord.
Samuel.
You know, God spoke to him. And here's what God said. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I'll perform against Eli, Samuel's mentor. I'll perform against Eli all the things which I've spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Don't mess with God. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. It wasn't what they did, it's what he didn't do when they did it. Now therefore I've sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. May I say, a sin unto death. Samuel's first encounter with, listen now, with speaking forth the word of God, his first encounter to be faithful with the stewardship as a prophet, to speak forth what God has said, his first encounter with that was to tell his mentor, Eli, what God had said he was going to do to his household. Could you imagine that? The first time that Samuel's going to speak out what God has said, he has to go to his mentor, like the prophet did David, and say, you're the man. You know, we esteem those that help us, right? And here, because of Eli's lack of restraint, not dealing with an issue that he had there when he should have. God says, there's more detail about it in the scripture. We'll not get into it. But nonetheless, God said, I'm going to judge Eli for that. And Samuel, you are going to be faithful to take that message to him. Faithful when they're not. Samuel was faithful to God and his word and told him what God said. The people around Samuel who weren't faithful, first his mentor had not been faithful. It's no excuse for you. Listen to me. If your parents drifted from God, or if someone that you held in high esteem drifted from God, it's no excuse for you or for me not to be faithful to the Lord. Do you hear me? I know of people who in churches, you know, they've seen issues and so on. And so they said, what's the use in serving God? There's always use in serving God. You and I, are, as stewards, are required to be found what? Faithful. Even when they're not. His mentor, secondly, his sons had not been found faithful. We noticed in chapter 8 and verse 3, but let's look at it just again momentarily. In chapter 8 and verse 3, it says about Samuel that his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. They were vile with the house of God and with the people that came to the house of God. His sons had not been faithful. And the elders, it says in verse number 4, gathered themselves together and came to Samuel to Ramah and said, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king. They bypassed God and said, your family, as humans, have failed us, so give us another human. That makes sense, doesn't it? Right? No. They bypassed God. But notice, Samuel had been faithful, but in this particular verse, his sons had not. A lot of parents dip their own sails to please their children. But Samuel did not. His sons did not do right, but Samuel stood by the stuff. Sometimes children turn away from the principles that their parents taught and exemplified. And it's easy to try to pin the blame on parents for the failures of grown children. But the truth is that each one gives an account for himself. The Bible tells us, and you don't need to turn to it for sake of time, but in Ezekiel chapter 18, the Bible says, behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Sometimes people that are extreme in their teaching on parental duties have purported to say that if a child or a young adult drifts bad, it's because of the parents' failure. One pious preacher was talking to me about that one time, saying that if anybody in his realm ever failed, he would get out of the ministry. I said, is that right? And I said, and I asked him, I said, well, hey, let me ask you a question. That always gets somebody to sidetrack the thing. I said, do you worship God? Of course I do. You worship God, God of the Bible? Yes, I do. Well, did you know that his first created people turned against him and sinned? Did you know that? So you have a bad God. God should resign. He said, well, about that. And I said, no, you know what? Good people are not perfect people, and they teach good and right things, but every person makes the choice with what they're going to do with them. I've heard people disparage Samuel, say he wasn't that great because his sons didn't turn out right. The Bible does not say that. His sons did what they did because they were wrong. Samuel was faithful when they were not. Cain and Abel. You ever hear of them? Right? You know, as you can remember who was able to kill who because Cain was able to get Abel, right? Cain was, anyway. I have these simple, simplistic, childish ways of remembering things. I hope I never grow up. Cain and Abel heard the same truths from Adam and Eve, but Cain made the wrong decision. I've seen parents change their beliefs to please their children. Don't go there. One time someone said to me years ago that they were just going to go to the church where their kids went to church just to always be with their kids. And I said, well, has God told you that there's something you need to change? Well, no. I said, well, does God tell you to follow your children? No. Well, then don't. And thank God the person didn't. Amen. As parents, we're to stand true to the Word of God whether or not our children do. Amen? If they don't embrace what's right, they'll answer for it, but you be found faithful because you will answer for your faithfulness. He was faithful when they were not. Your faithfulness when they're not, as it relates to children, may be what draws them back to the right position. Did you hear me? You know, that's a horrible thing. Every person thinks that they have the corner on teaching someone, and they'll grab it and they'll certainly follow it. Everybody thinks, you know, boy, if I could just have a little time with that person, I'd make him better. Not if he didn't decide to, right? And the parent may think, you know, you have young kids today, you might say, well, you know, everything's wonderful. They call me dad, and they love me now. But you know what? They're going to reach a point where they will make decisions. We have to make the choice for God to be appealing and a blessed, joyous way of walking and a path that is not contrary. It's not hypocritical. We need to make the pathway seem good, but I'll guarantee every person that grows up will come to the crossway of life, and he'll look at that which is appealing and has luster and promotes godlessness and thinks, wow, a lot of people are having fun. Every young person will look in that direction, and he'll also look at the righteous direction, and he'll say, you know, I see a lot of hypocrisy there. Because you discount hypocrisy on the wrong side because we all know they're hypocrites anyway, right? I never hear somebody say, I'm never going to go back and shop at a grocery store because someone was rude to me there. But they say, I'm never going to go back to church because somebody didn't speak to me. You know, it doesn't work for the grocery store. Why should it work for the church, right? Anyway. So young people will look at the luster of the world, and they'll look at the truth and the righteous walk, and every young person balances it out. Every young person does. We need to make the righteous side seem appealing. Amen? That's good. Hey, my parents, yeah, they're you know what? One of the things that grabbed me as a 19-year-old when I realized that something was missing, that I was not saved, and I grew up in church. I knew every mouse in the church. I grew up in church. And I saw things from the inside. Not that my parents talked about them. They never did. But I didn't have Ray Charles eyes. I saw things from the inside And I saw things that happened, like I told you about coming home with watching my mom come home crying from a business meeting because some people were being idiots. That told me I never want to pastor church. I bless God, I won't either. I watched my mom come home crying because how her husband had been treated in a church business meeting. I said, I don't want that. But let me tell you, when I was 19 years old, the Holy Spirit was breaking my heart over the coals that I needed to be saved. I remember thinking about some of the things I had observed and seeing my mom, looking at Ben and Krista right now, and saw my mom and dad, okay? I said, you know what? They were faithful and sincere. And that picture in my mind was a catalyst to help me come over. Amen? Parents, we're not perfect, but by all means, as you teach what's good and right, let the children see your grace and kindness toward each other too. Thank you. Samuel was faithful, but his sons were not. Something else. Samuel was faithful, but his nation had not been faithful. His nation. Chapter 8 and verse 6 that says, the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. Verse 8, God said, according to all the works which they've done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt to this day where they've forsaken me and served other gods, so do they unto thee, Samuel. Samuel was faithful through all the years when his nation had not been. Folks, listen, the direction of our nation should not determine the direction of our lives as Christians. The lack of conviction in our nation should not cause us to have lack of conviction in our lives. If they legalize abortion to the very end stage in New York, Christians should stand up and say, not us, amen? Amen. We don't believe that. We should be standing up more. We don't believe it from conception. His nation had not been faithful. Many times the negative response of the multitudes will cause people to become discouraged and then unfaithful. People could look at fundamental Bible-believing churches and say, you know, they're not great in number like maybe they were for a little while, but that doesn't mean anything. What means everything is that we're found faithful. And if the masses and the multitudes are swallowed up into contemporary, non-biblical, worldly way of religion, then let it be. Be faithful when they're not. His nation had not been faithful. Samuel was faithful when the national public opinion was contrary to what he had taught and how he had led. And I'm going to tell you something. Just about everything we believe anymore is contrary to the public opinion. Wow. Right is wrong now, and wrong is right. Christianity is appalled, but Islam is appealing. In our nation, in England, where the gospel launched out from and came our way. And what we need to be is like Samuel and be faithful when they're not. Then I want to notice Samuel's response to those who weren't faithful. It's important. First, he understood what was going on. He understood their problem was spiritual, not personal. Look at verse 7, if you would, of 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7. And the Lord, he understood because God taught him this. The Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. And read the rest with me. Ready? For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Samuel understood. His first response, he understood what was going on. He understood that their problem was spiritual, not personal. Listen to me, you better, and I better, keep the I out of it. Why won't that person come to church? That really hurts me. That makes me feel bad. Why won't they listen to what I've shared? Don't they know I love them and care for them? Oh, it hurts me so bad. Listen, I would have gotten out of the ministry 35 years ago if I let it be all about me. I can tell you that. But I learned from the scripture to understand, like God told Samuel to understand, it's not all about you, buddy. It's about me. Their problem is not a personal problem with you, Samuel. Their problem is a spiritual problem with me. Do you understand when people don't do what God wants them to do, it's because it's a spiritual problem. They may say it's personal. They may say, well, you aren't. Doesn't hold any water. Samuel, your sons weren't perfect, therefore we want a king. God said, that's not the issue. The issue is they're not spiritual. They don't want me. That's what he's telling them there, right? Isn't it? It's easy to blame other people. I told you one time I had somebody blame me. They said, you know, Pastor Whitman, I don't do this in my Christian life because of you. I said, really? I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree, but I could see through that one. Really? I've heard some good things. I thank God that I had a dad who was witty. One time in his first church, he'd been there about a year and a half or so, an older person, a deacon in the church, came up to him and said, "Now, Pastor George," they were at a picnic, and he said, "Now, Pastor George, I want you to know that God has told me that your ministry here is through." And my dad said, "Well, that's interesting. I just talked to him this morning, and he didn't mention anything about it." He understood it's not a personal problem, it's a spiritual problem. His response to those who weren't faithful, first he understood, secondly he warned. He warned. He faithfully warned them from the word of God. He warned. Verse 9. Chapter 8, 1 Samuel, verse 9, chapter 8. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, God said, yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. He warned them. He faithfully warned them from the word of God, though they were not faithful. You know, you're going to find yourself in the Christian walk. When people are not being faithful, you still need to be faithful to warn them, to teach them what's right. Samuel faithfully presented the word of God to them when they were not faithful. You know, the Bible tells me in Ecclesiastes 11:6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike. You just keep telling them the word. The third thing in his response to these who were not faithful when he was, is that he obeyed. He obeyed. He faithfully obeyed God when others were not faithful to do that. 1 Samuel 10:1, the Bible says, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, being Saul's head, and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? He faithfully obeyed what God said to do, even though the people around him were not faithful. He anointed Saul to be king. Samuel was faithful to obey the Lord personally when others around him were being unfaithful. This may be the most important point I'll make to you. Do not let the unfaithfulness of someone else cause you to stumble and be unfaithful. When someone else doesn't obey God, you obey God. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Samuel was faithful to obey. Remember, he told Saul later on, to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. He obeyed. Number four, what did he do when people were not faithful and he was? He prayed. Amen. Boy, we've done everything you can. I guess the only thing last to do is pray. Isn't that a bad way to look at it? I've done everything I can do. Now all I can do is pray. Why don't we say, I can't do anything. The only thing I can do is pray anyway. It's God. But he prayed, and he faithfully prayed for them. If you would notice in verse number 23 of chapter 12, if you'd go there quickly, verse 23, chapter 12, after he goes on and he anoints him the king, and he protests their direction, speaks God's word faithfully, obeys God faithfully. And notice what he says. The first thing he did, we saw him pray in verse 12. Or chapter 12, now the end of chapter 12, verse 23. It says, as he speaks to them now, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord, even though you have, I'll throw that in there. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Amen. Hey, listen. When other people are not faithful around you, get down on your knees and say, dear God, please help me. This person has stumbled. This person has gone against you. God, help me. Give me strength to be faithful. And Lord, please work in that person's heart or those people's hearts. Lord, you touch them and help me to be faithful. Help me to be a solid example. Help me to be somewhat of a personal reference point. But Lord, help me and help them. That's what he says, you know what? You're not going the way that's the best way. God says, let you do it, and I'm going along. I'm obeying God. But listen, I'm not going to sin against him by stopping praying for you. There's people that aren't doing what God wants them to do. Pray for them. Amen? Pray for them. Pray for them. We can get bitter easier than we can pray, and if we'll pray, we'll not get bitter. It's easy to get bitter over the wrongs of other people. It's easy to get angry over the wrongs of other people. Moses did. But pray about the wrongs of other people. Pray about the wrongs of your children. Pray about the wrongs of your spouse. Pray about the wrongs of other people that bug you. Pray about it. Casting all your what? That would include bitterness, frustration. He prayed. And notice what he said with that. God forbid that I should sin against what? The Lord in ceasing to pray. See, Samuel was faithful to God when people around him weren't. And the last thing that he did in response is that he taught. Number five, he taught. He faithfully taught them the right ways when they were not faithful. Parents, you can get awfully discouraged when you've told your children over and over again something and they've disregarded what you've said. I want to say, pick the pencil back up and draw the line again on top of what you said. Underscore it again. Precept, line upon line, precept upon precept, day after day after day after day, keep it up. Amen? Parents, keep it up. Yeah, they didn't want to go the right way. Samuel was faithful, and so he, look at the last part of chapter, of verse 23 again, if you're still there. I'll read the whole thing. 1 Samuel 12, 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. He was going to be faithful to keep teaching the good and right way, even to people who had chosen the wrong way. Don't give up. Amen? Even when King Saul was unfaithful, Saul remained faithful and stood up to him with God's word. When others become unfaithful, it's our duty to continue to pray for them and to continue to teach them the good and right way. Well, the world, they go after everything. Well, teach them the right way. Some people do not even know that there are things that are called sin. Teach them. When others become unfaithful around us, it's our duty to continue to pray for them and teach them the good and right way. And to offer forgiveness, to offer instruction, to offer encouragement, to offer edification, build them back up. These are all needed when others around us are not faithful and we're trying to be. We think, for some reason, I'm going to be faithful to God and look at all the people that are joining up with me. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes we got to be faithful many times when they're not. Listen to this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25, Paul instructed Timothy, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Isn't that wonderful? Here's a guy that says, I'm just going to live like I want to live. I don't want to listen to that stuff. Listen, this is the right way of walking. I don't want to do anything for God. Hey, I want to share a verse with you. Hey, you know what? You really I'm not going back to church anymore. I've had enough of. Hey, next time you see him, you know what? You really need to be in church. We love you. We care about you. Pray. I'm not going back to church. Next time you see him, hey, listen, we're praying for you. I want you to know we really want to see you back in church. And you don't know when that heart's going to be soft and ready. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, lest peradventure God will give them repentance unto life. You never know. You never know. They've chosen the wrong way. You be faithful when they're not, and you keep sharing what's right, and who knows, you might help turn them back to the right way again. How many have had somebody that's come to you when you weren't quite right, and something they said or did or just the knowledge of them caring was a catalyst to help you come back to the right ways? Anybody? Yeah. Amen. I think all of us, right? In closing, Samuel was faithful when they were not. God help us to be faithful when they're not. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word, the example in the life of Samuel, and there's so many other wonderful things about his life. Yet this seemed to be an outstanding characteristic in light of the aspect of being found faithful. And I pray that you'd challenge us with these thoughts this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to us. And Father, if there's anybody here that is not saved, does not know 100% sure that they're saved, may they get that matter settled today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you lived a perfect life for each one of us, that you died on the cross to pay for each one of our sins, all of us, and that you rose again from the grave to give us eternal life, that we could be completely forgiven, justified, saved, and headed to heaven. Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as Savior, may they see the need and do something about it. And then if someone's pondering becoming unfaithful because of them around them, may they be challenged by Samuel's life today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many would say, Pastor, by the grace of God, I've tried to be and will continue to try to be faithful, even though some around me haven't been or aren't. By God's grace, I'm going to try to be like Samuel in this way. Would you slip up your hand? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down, please. How many? Is there anybody who'd say this morning, I'm not 100% sure that I've been born again. I'd like to make that sure in my life. Anybody today? I'm not 100% sure that I've been saved. Anybody at all? No one's looking. Anybody at all? I wonder if there's anybody who'd say, Pastor, I've been saved. And maybe it was maybe as a young person, I had gotten baptized myself. I had gotten baptized, but I didn't get saved until I was 19. So after I really got saved, then I followed the Lord in baptism, even though I'd already been baptized. Didn't amount to anything because I needed to do it after I was saved. Maybe there's someone here to say today that would, by uplifted hand, say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord in baptism after I came to know for sure I was saved. And I really want to pursue following God, obeying God in that. Who'd slip up their hand? Anybody this morning? God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I want it. God bless you. Amen. Something that we should do. It's a step of obedience to Christ after we've been saved. I want you to talk to me. Those of you that raise your hand, talk to me. Get with me. Give me a call. Talk to me. I'll try to catch you afterwards. And let's talk about following through with that. Or come this morning. Say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I want to get with you. I want to come during our invitation time. You come right forward and say, Preacher, I've been saved, but I've not followed the Lord in baptism, and I want to get with you and talk about it. You come do that this morning. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity as people who come short. Thank you for the opportunity we have to preach about your faithfulness and your expectation of ours. Help us to follow these principles in our lives. Bless now those, each one, let's raise the hand for different things in our lives. Help us to follow through with them. More than just emotion, may it become reality. Bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.